Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'll be with you today for about 55 minutes. I have someone, I guess, to say is an outstanding, wonderful, giving, caring, civic-minded person. Would be a truly an understatement. His name is Smitty Pignatelli. He's been in office, public service, not office. He's been in public service for many, many years. And the other night, about two weeks ago, they had he had sponsored a get together at the Pittsfield Country Club, and the praise that this man was given would touch even the darkest heart. Really, people from Boston, and I don't really get along with Boston people, they came up, they stayed. Of course, we frisked them before they left because you can't trust them. But it was a wonderful event, a wonderful evening. And it wasn't political. It was just grateful. And that's what touched my heart. My wife and I said, it was like just a wonderful thank you party. Mm-hmm. And I would be remiss if I didn't say, I said it to Smitty off air, what a wonderful family Mr. and Mrs. Pignatelli raised. Great family. So without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour, my friend Smitty Pignatelli. And I can tell by looking at you, Mr. Pignatelli, you're spending too much time on a golf course.
No, it's just high blood pressure.
Quite a tan, mister.
No, it's just high blood pressure. Oh,
yeah. I got that, too. It's the purple around my lips.
Yeah. No, it's always great to see you, Bill, and it's great to see you and the Polish princess the other night. It was, like you say, it was a fun event. It was intentionally non-political. It was really about friends, and it's a great group of people, and I'm glad to have you guys there.
Well, as you said to everyone there, you – basically, I paraphrase, you made me the success I am. And I thank all of you. And, you know, that so many people, some people at my table I had never seen or met knew. And they just said, isn't he wonderful? And I said, who? No.
I say in this business, Bill, if you don't have a great circle of friends and supporters, nobody will be successful. And that party was about you. It was about the people that made this all possible. And that was just my way to say thank you back to you for all the years of support over the years. So it was a fun night, kind of filled with laughter and some tears, but a good feeling, a good feeling.
It was kind of surprising the number of people who did tear up, you know, because it wasn't a good fun party. But I think when it finally sunk in, even to the old soldier here, mm-hmm. when it finally sunk in, because, you know, this had not a lot gets through the skull. this is the end of an era, but it's also the end of kind of the way I was raised in politics. Yeah. I'll leave it at that. You've never been out for Smitty.
No.
Either was your dad, God rest his soul, love the guy, and your mom. But you're going to miss it.
Well, I'm not going to miss the politics. I'm going to miss the people. You know, the beauty of my career is I've been more about the people than less about the politics anyway. So, but I'll miss the people. I say my dad always told me, whenever you retire, just make sure you have a purpose. To get up in the morning. And while I'm still searching for that purpose, my last day will be New Year's Day, which is really quite ironic because I got sworn in on New Year's Day. And the way the calendar works is my last day will be New Year's Day. So it's kind of a cool connection start to finish. But, you know, just finding what my next opportunity will be is what I'm focused on now. But so I won't miss the baloney. I won't miss the politics. I won't miss the drive. But I will miss the people.
I applaud you for the drive because I have to go to Boston to the hospitals down there, 2-3 times a year, and I dread it from the When I get the appointment, and it's not like this next appointment is until December, I'm already dreading it. I applaud you for doing it. The other piece, and I hope you don't mind, but I tell anybody running for office, your ethos. And for the listeners and the viewers, Smitty shared this, I don't know how many times on the radio with us, but he tells his people, let's do our job every day, and we're not going to have to worry about election day.
Yeah.
And obviously, you've been reelected how many times?
A lot.
A lot, yeah. And I think, you know, our mutual friend, and I say this, Congressman Neal, is same kind of guy. He's not about Richard Neal. He's about the people. And that's why you never see him on the Sunday morning shows or any of that stuff.
Yeah, it's really quite admirable. Our congressman in that position in our Congress, who was not there, you know, looking for a soundbite to get on the air, or the Sunday morning news, or the late night clips on CNN. He really just goes about his business and does his work. You can agree to disagree with him on some issues, no question about that. But he's not looking for the attention, and I think that's what's quite admirable. And it's a dying breed in politics.
And neither were you.
Neither for sure.
I can remember the first time, I think it, not just me, but you were a little hesitant about coming on the radio. This is years ago. I mean, we're talking years. Yeah. But now... I think you're right. It is a dying breed, because some of these people, I can't watch them. And I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, unicorn, whatever. It's about me.
Yeah. It's less about we and more about me. And I think, like you've heard me say before, it's more self-service than public service. That's the change that I'm seeing at every level of government, local, county, state, federal. It's just a very self-serving. You heard me say that night last week, Bill, that I pulled out my original radio ad from 22 years ago for state rep. And I was just listening to it, and I was thinking, you know, I close with this is I'm a public servant, not a politician. And I really very proud to say, and I really believe that even 22 years later, leaving the House of Representatives, I'm still a public servant and not a politician. But we're electing politicians now. And not we're electing public servants. And that's the part that concerns me.
And the thing is, when you said that, if you don't remember, I do. And I don't remember anything anymore. Ask Roseanne. Everybody clapped.
Yeah.
Everybody clapped. It was like spontaneous. You said, I'm not a politician. I'm a public servant. And like all of a sudden, the whole room started clapping.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so we need to, and that's why the elections are so important. And, you know, I mean, even think about the most recent primary, you know, the only contested race in Berkshire County is for my seat. And it was what, a 30% voter turnout. I mean, 70% of the people chose to sit home. I think people need to show up. I'm glad it's a presidential year, but we're still not going to get 100% voter turnout, you know, and, but people need to recognize that every vote matters and their vote does count, and take some responsibility for it. It's not that hard to show up and fill in a circle and then walk out the door. But still, the number of people sit home, and you kind of lose your right to complain a little bit if you don't exercise your right to vote.
Well, you know my motto here: don't vote, don't gripe.
Yeah, it's almost true. I mean,
you know, when I used to do the call-in show before I regained my sanity, when I used to do the call-in show, and they call up and I said, "Wait, whoa, did you vote? No, you don't have a say." It's awful, but it's true. But I'm going to be very candid with you. In the last 3 or 4 days, I have heard people, "Well, I don't like either candidate, so I'm not voting." Well, that's just foolish.
Yeah, there's other. A blank vote is a vote.
Yes.
So just do something. There's other races that, you know, absolutely, you can be voting for. So you may skip one, but there may be another one that might need your vote. I go back to my first election as a selectman, you know, 100 years ago. I won by 46 votes. And I went into the town clerk's office the next day, and I just started checking off names on the voters list that people that told me they were going to be there to support me who
Yeah.
failed to show up. And I stopped at 47. And I never wanted to be on the losing end of that and finding 46 people that failed to show up. There's only two people that know who came in second that year, me and guy who came in second. So
Yeah.
in fact, one of the people who did not vote that year was my cousin. And I called him up. I said, "Geez, what's going on? How come you didn't vote?" He said, "Oh, I thought it was a no-brainer. I thought you had no shot. I was late for a tennis match." And he skipped it. But I tell you, and I won. But I still do it religiously after every election. I go into the town clerk's office and I look at who did not vote.
Right.
And it's surprising that our friends, supporters, relatives that just don't take the time to do it. And they could have made a difference. And it's that's the part that's frustrating. This election, not only for my seat, but the presidential election, is going to define the direction we're going into for the next several years, not just the next
Yeah.
4 years, several years.
Yes.
And, just don't sit on the sidelines.
No, please don't. And I say this to a group, you know, the you people out there know who I'm addressing. Your vote is as important as anybody else's vote. Maybe more so because at one point in time you wore the uniform. And when I hear I'm not going to vote because blah, 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 that to me, drive through the cemetery. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Yep.
Look at those flags. All those guys and gals under those flags. I'm sure they'll be really upset with you not voting. And that's my speech.
Well, but Bill, you know, you've been around long enough to remember, you know, John F. Kennedy. You know, he won that election in 1960,
yeah.
But it was less than 1% in every precinct in America.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the difference.
Yeah.
So people showing up makes a difference, and do your part is how my attitude.
I think, too, you exemplify, as does Congressman Neal and many others, Barrett and... I guess from a different era.
Yeah.
You know, you're younger than I am. I'm half, three quarters of the country, the world is younger than I am. But John Kennedy, you brought him up, and a couple, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. And the other one that sticks with me, just resonates in my head, is it's not Democrat, it's not Republican. It has to be right. And I paraphrase, I probably messed up.
Yeah.
And you know, you're right. We've lost the public servants. Now let's talk about something really exciting. What are you going to do next? Come on.
I don't know yet.
I have your office bug, so I already know all the calls.
Yeah. Now, I've taken on the interim town manager job in Lenox for a couple of months. They actually started interviewing last night for the permanent replacement, which is good. So I just offered to help out for a few months in the meantime. I actually told a group last night, I was down in Egremont for the South Berkshire Chamber Person of the Year Award, that I've been given offers to work in Boston. But to be honest with you, I have no desire to be in Boston. The Berkshires are my home. I don't mind if I have to go to Boston a couple of days a week, but I like to sleep in the Berkshires. And so I'd love to find something here. I know the options are much more limited here than a big city.
Right.
So I've talked to some folks, you know, I still have the energy and ideas and desire to do something to help my community. What it is just yet, I don't know, but, we've got a few irons in the fire.
Well, I'm happy for you. Anyone who brings you on board anywhere will get 100% of all that you bring to the table. And that's an extensive menu, believe me.
Yeah.
And where are we going in the state? I mean, I heard something. I don't have all the facts, but I heard now they're going to start raising the rates on veterans' plates.
I think that's ridiculous. I personally think veterans plates should be free. You know, I mean, you can get the Gold Star plates, the, you know, disabled veterans plates, but I think all veterans plates should be free. You know, the state's in very good shape financially. And,
Yeah.
and I mean, and I hate to say it this way, it's veterans are becoming a dying breed. You know, the World War II generation, I don't know if there's anybody even left in Berkshire County, but, you know,
I don't know either.
In the next few years, that'll be gone. I mean, Korea, this is really interesting, Bill, and you know this better than I. World War II veterans lived well into their 90s and into the hundreds.
Yes.
Korean veterans, the Forgotten War, which I always chuckle at that, a Forgotten War when, you know, 50,000 people lost their lives.
Yeah.
You know, they may live into their 80s. We're seeing Vietnam veterans, because of their exposure, dying in their 70s. You know, and then from there, you know, it's really dropped dramatically about the veterans service in Berkshire County. So if we don't recognize the service and the sacrifice they made, I agree with you, Bill. We should go through the cemeteries, see the flags on Memorial Day or Veterans
Day.
But, you know, we shouldn't have to go to those cemeteries to recognize the veterans if they have the veterans plates. So let's reward them. Let's honor them while they're still alive, while they're still mobile. And let the public know that, you know, the Berkshires did their part too. So it's very frustrating.
Oh,
the
yeah.
state's in good shape financially. And these are little things that I don't think the numbers are so daunting, where we couldn't just waive the fees for a license plate on your car. What's the big deal? So that's some of the frustration that you have at the state house sometimes.
Oh.
There's fewer and fewer legislators that can actually relate to the veterans. I mean, they're getting younger and younger. The wars are not on the front page of the newspapers or the lead story on the news any longer. You know, you and I have a long history, your history with Vietnam and my history with my dad and my namesake killed in World War II. These are living, breathing, real people that do things. But when a 23-year-old gets elected to the state house today, who has no knowledge or no connection, or maybe it was a great-grandfather that served in World War II and not your grandfather, who's been long gone. It doesn't resonate the same for a lived experience connection. So I think we need to keep our pedal to the metal and keep advocating for the veterans.
Well, and I try to control myself when I see all these people who – I think Netanyahu made a very present. Whatever it is, Prime Minister. When he said these people are chanting from the river to the sea, and when asked what river, what sea, they don't know. So, I mean, that to me is an educational thing. And but thank you for, you know, all the stuff you've done through the years for veterans. And of course, your dad, he was in the war, but I just really, I want us to get back to thinking about us. Even I got a pretty good voice on this radio reach to people, but let's take care of each other.
Yeah.
I mean, politicians especially, forget you. You're just one of us. Start thinking about us again. You always did that, Smitty. No question, you didn't even have to be in your district.
Well,
anybody could go to you and you would help them.
You know, it's funny, Bill, Berkshire Magazine did a very nice article in this month's or this quarter's fall schedule on my time in the service. And I go back to a lesson my father taught me that I used to get frustrated. And I said this the other night, too, that, you know, I said, Dad, why are you letting other people take credit for things that we all know you did? And I said the other night, I've turned into my father. So I mentioned that, you know, the Eagle Mill project in Lee going to be a transformative development for downtown Lee and the Berkshires.
Yeah.
And I've been working on that personally for 12 years. It's now under construction. And I said in this article in Berkshire Magazine that, you know, in a year or two, the next state rep will be there at the ribbon cutting. I will be forgotten about. And I'm okay with that. I've turned into my dad but I will know what I did.
That's right.
To get that thing started and get it going. So I'm okay with that. I just think we need to do a better job. I really wish we could ratchet it back into our public schools, K through 12, having a curriculum of current affairs. You know, kids
Absolutely.
today don't read the newspapers, they don't watch your show, they don't listen to local radio, they're on their iPhones all the time, looking at social media. If that's where you're getting your news, you're not doing yourself any favors. So I think we need to do a better job. And I would, if I was to do anything, I would love to teach at a college about current events.
Yeah.
The class would be about what is in this week's newspaper, to educate them on what's important and have some back and forth. Let's agree to
Right.
disagree on some things and get young people's brains stimulated on forming an opinion outside of 150 characters on Twitter, or a post on Snapchat or Instagram. So
Yeah.
I think current events are really important because as we get older, Bill, we're depending on this next generation to understand and lead this country, but you better know about this country, better understand what we're dealing with,
That's
and
right.
not just live in the bubble called Berkshire County. Get beyond the bubble and learn what's going on in the world, and if not, across the state line.
And you know it's what you're saying is right. And to emphasize it, pulling down statues of George Washington and other people, desecrating, you know, the Lincoln Memorial. What do you get from that? I mean, I got to tell you, the environmentalists breaking into the Louvre and trying to damage beautiful paintings that are part of the world's history, not just our history. I wouldn't vote for a thing that your people were behind. I try to maintain a posture of anybody can come on this show because we are Pittsfield Community Television. We are Pittsfield Community. I get called from people that I hope they'll never know, but I wouldn't have a beer with them, or have a cup of coffee. They're not, but they have a right to be on the show.
That's right.
They have a right to be heard.
And what we need to do, Bill, America has a very dark past in many
Yes,
ways.
absolutely.
I mean, go back to the, indigenous people and slavery and the Civil War. I mean, there's been race and discrimination issues for, 250 years in this country. Don't just tear down those symbols. Use them as a tool to educate and inform, instead of just getting rid of them and then they're out of sight, out of mind. It doesn't change our history. Bless you. It doesn't change our history, but it allows us to use it as a tool to learn and make things better going forward. You can't turn back the clock, but you can make things better going forward, and that's what we should be doing more of.
And I you and I are old enough to remember John Fitzgerald Kennedy and all the initiatives, the Peace Corps to help other countries. And also I know a few people who are in the Peace Corps. They said it was transformative. They will never be the same person they were before they went. And that's a positive. And the civil rights and all, I've been very fortunate. I have had an opportunity in my career to travel the world and work in different countries and with different, and I go back to and I paraphrase because I would be an insult. I would never insult. I think this guy is one of the world's number one leaders. Nelson Mandela said at one point, and I paraphrase, please don't send me texts that I said it wrong because I know. But what he said was, now we must come together. We can live in the past and continue to hate, or we can come together and build a nation for everyone. And I was there when that was going on. I mean, that was the greatest transformative thing in my entire life.
You make a good point there, Bill. And you look at, the partisan politics on the national level. That's why you're seeing a majority are going unenrolled. They're actually tired of both Republican and Democratic parties. Even in my race, there's a Democrat and an unenrolled. Over 60% of the people in this district are unenrolled. They like to vote for the person. Because people are tired of the bickering, the partisan bickering. So you mentioned Nelson Mandela. I mean, last week's event, Dr. Richard Lapchick was on the video that my buddy put together, and he actually led the American boycott of the Davis Cup tennis matches in South Africa because of apartheid. And Nelson Mandela and Richard became very good friends. And Richard became one of less than 200 specially invited guests from around the world to go to Mandela's inauguration. And after the inauguration, Richard told me this. He says, we thought we'd be going to some, fancy ball or whatever. They all got on a bus and went to a soccer game, because, and Richard asked me, he says, why are we going to a soccer game? He says, these were my people. And that's who he was representing. He wasn't representing anybody else. And it just, and now Richard Lapchick has been an amazing mentor to me in many ways. It's the power of sport. He utilized sport to bridge those gaps of divide and raised up a nation of people. I mean, still, we have more work to do, don't get me wrong. But there was just how you approach things. And it wasn't political for Nelson Mandela, it was about the people. And he wanted to go to a soccer match after being inaugurated president.
And then to capture a lot of the people, not votes, people, he became a rugby fan. And if you know the history of South Africa, rugby was a white sport. Like I said, where are they now? Where are the John Kennedys? Where are the, and that's not putting anybody down, but you're right. I became unenrolled. I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of people out there. You and I know them very, very well, and I admire them and very much. But I can't pledge allegiance to a party. I'm pledging allegiance to a person when I vote. That's just me.
No, but more and more people are going that direction, and I think that's where the parties need to wake up to that fact. And I'm a Democrat, as you know, but I'm saying that about both parties or all parties.
Oh,
Just
absolutely.
we're there to serve the people, not serve yourself. And I think that's why more and more people are choosing to be unenrolled, and they will decide who to vote for.
Well, I'm with you. I think there's too much me and all the politicians today. Not the civil servants, the politicians. And both parties, you're right. And I hope that we'll get people like you. I hope whoever wins your race, they replicate how you ran your office. That's, I don't know.
Well,
What's
everybody's got
your
different
age?
own.
Your age showed up. They're all successful people, way successful people. And they came back for Smitty.
I mean that's the part that I'm actually extremely proud of, is that every single person who's ever worked for me came to that event, and they've become friends. That was the beauty of it. They become friends, and every one of them have gone on to some bigger and better things. I feel like a proud father sometimes. I mean, these were
You
young,
should.
talented people to begin with, but their loyalty and their commitment. And I gave them the ability to kind of shape that job with how they wanted it. And I told them, I said, my name may be on the door, but you're my representative when I'm not around. And they took that very seriously. And
Oh,
they,
yes.
I like to think I've become a mentor to them. We need to do more of those kind of things for the greater good. And this is that bond that they have together is just, I just sit
Amazing.
back and admire it. They're really doing some good things.
We're going to take a break. I'm here today. I know I it's bittersweet, and it's not going to be the last, but we owe a lot to Smitty Pignatelli. He never asked for anything. And he gave back to all of us so much in this county and in this state with his votes. Now, I do this. I know I've received your text. Don't bother texting me anymore because I'm going to continue to do it. This is my flag. A lot of my friends are buried under it. A lot of people who at one point in time signed on a dotted line that they would give their life for this flag. You don't have to love it. You don't have to do. All I'm asking you to do is do not desecrate it. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. Simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. Stay tuned. More to come from the retiring state representative.
Pivoting.
Yeah. Leaving the state house. Smitty Picatelli. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
What's going on here?
Combining the miracle of modern technology with the secrets of ordinary street junkies. Producing this.
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union. Proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal. Opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
El condado de los Berkshires se dirige hacia un mañana más brillante y ese futuro comienza contigo. Los Berkshires están al borde de caer en una gran crisis de salud mental debido a la falta de acceso, dejando algunos pacientes, especialmente niños, esperando meses para recibir la atención adecuada. Tú puedes ayudar abogando por ti mismo y por otros para encontrar carreras en la salud mental. Sé un héroe de la salud mental para los Berkshires. Para obtener más información, visita briancenter.org o namibc.org.
Hey friends, if you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8, and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281 4222 and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. I'm here to say this morning, actually, with Smitty Pignatelli. I consider myself an appendage to the Pignatelli family. They don't always own up to me, but that's okay. I always own up to them. But, you know, over your years, what has changed in the political sphere of Boston?
It's become much more constricted, I think, within leadership. You can see me. I mean, when I got there, the circle was this big, and each subsequent speaker has gotten smaller and smaller. There's a lot of new faces. There's 14 of us that have chosen not to run for re-election this year, just in the House. The State House News did an article about, oh, it's only 14 people. That's not unheard of. I was one of 24 when I first came in. So 14 doesn't seem like a lot. But I went through all of their records, And that those 14 people amounted to about 232 years of service. That institutional knowledge, as you know, which is something very, yeah. very important going forward. In fact, actually, one of my classmates from 22 years ago actually lost her primary. So so there's 15 people that are now out, and add another 22 years of service. So now we're up to 254 years of institutional knowledge that's leaving on January 1st. So it's hard to replace that. I mean, we're all replaceable, but it's hard to replace the institutional knowledge. And I think that's the concern that I'm seeing the last couple of years. COVID really put a wrench into everybody's life, you know,
yes.
in private business and personal life or political. And I think that constricted base has even gotten smaller because we're doing things remote. There wasn't that social interaction of, you know, seeing Bill Sturgeon in the hallway
yeah.
and go grab a cup of coffee and talk about the pending legislation in tomorrow's session. You know, we never got that because we're all doing things on Zoom. So I just don't know if we're ever going to get back to how it used to be, because it's becoming more of the norm. And then new people coming in, this is how they're learning how the job works.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 5 years from now, 10 years from now, there's going to be new legislator coming in and saying, oh, my God, this is not like the old days. You know, that's what's going to happen. So that's why I say the people got to speak up. The people have to be. I've never been afraid to be held accountable for every vote that I've taken. And every vote that I've taken, whether you have agreed with it or not, as long as I can defend it, defend my position, I think it's yep. really important. And so holding your elected officials accountable at the local level and the state level and the federal level, we shouldn't be afraid to do that. And I think some people run with, oh, I see they voted that way. Well, that must be a bad person. Give me a call. Hey, Smitty, why did you vote for that bill? Or why did you vote against that bill? Let me explain it, and then you'll have a better understanding of the process. And we can still disagree at the end of that conversation,
hey.
But you'll have a better understanding than just looking at the tally that says Smitty voted yes or no. There's always something behind that yes or no. Don't be afraid to ask it.
Yeah, and you can disagree, but you don't have to be disagree. You don't have to scratch the person's name off your Christmas card list because they didn't vote for something you wanted. And I see that every day now. I was with some folks yesterday, and you know, they're, I don't want to say they're irrational, but they're not thinking of the big picture. And my, like you said, this election, this for president coming up, is probably second to Kennedy, is probably John F. Kennedy, the most important election I'll ever be in.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And Senator Paul Mark and I, we did an event in Beckett on Monday night, very well attended. And I, you know, I always joke that is the glass half full or half empty? Well,
right.
For me, it's always half full, but I admit that some days it's leaking, you know, but you try to find something positive, and there's no, I've never seen a perfect bill passed by the legislature. But if there's enough positive stuff in there that you can brag about and say that you brought back to the district, don't get hung up on one or two of the smaller things that you don't like.
Right.
Look at the overall package. And I think that's what we need to talk about. But there's so many people that, oh my God, you should repeal your vote on that because this was in it. Well, okay, that's really not great. I agree with you. But did you recognize all the other good things that are in it?
Right.
So is the glass half full or half empty? I think we need to have a different approach. And I think the messaging with our media, social media or mainstream media, has to be, give me the facts, let you decide what you like or not. And too many times we're looking at, I'm just feeding you what I want you to hear. And I always joke that, you know, when I was a kid, you listen to Walter Cronkite, I really believe he gave you the news.
Right.
And he trusted that you were smart enough to interpret the news. Now,
right.
based on what poison you want to drink, whether it be CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, whatever, I don't really care. But hear and learn another side to it. And then you're being dictated on what to think and not
right.
being trusted to interpret it yourself.
No, I agree 100% with you. And sometimes what I do is I start at one end and I go through all of them and listen to the same story with a different twist. And it's not journalism anymore.
No,
I think Chet Huntley and David Brinkley, Walter Cronkite, my brother used to tell us when I was overseas, they'd come up with his kids and everything and after supper. And Walter Cronkite would come out of my father's like, oh, I'll see you. Go ahead. Bye now. Yeah. Billy, I might see Billy. There's a million guys there, Dad.
Yeah.
But that's how, and you remember it. I remember it. That half hour was sacrosanct. You didn't talk. You didn't interrupt.
Yeah.
You know,
I even say, Bill, that, I don't think we have family dinner talks anymore. I mean, I told the story before, but I remember my father, when I was like 9 years old, my father asked me the question, what do you think about the situation in Indochina? And I was thinking, where the heck is Indochina? But I knew that the next night or the next week, my dad was going to ask me again.
Right.
So I had to do my homework. I think education is the greatest tool we can have. We have an obligation not only to be educated, but to search out information and get proper education to have an informed opinion. So the next week my dad asked, what do you think about the situation in Indochina? I knew he was talking about Vietnam, you know? And I think that was so important for a 9 or 10 year old kid to have that kind of conversation with her mom or dad or brothers or sisters. And that's how I grew up. And I think the schools have an opportunity to have these current event type of conversations. Because sadly, the family structures are not what they once were.
Civics.
I mean, sometimes
civics. They don't even know how a bill made.
Yeah. Well, I don't either.
No, I know. You got a couple more months. Try to get.
Yeah. No, but you know what I'm saying. I said, sadly, families have split up. Sometimes there's single moms or dads working double shifts, and that's where I think the schools and our community could step in and help empower the young people to be educated and lead a good, healthy life. And I think that's what, if I'm going to pivot to anything, it's going to be pivoting towards trying to make my community better.
Yeah. And, just to reflect a little bit, when I was a kid, 5 o'clock, you're at the table.
Yeah.
You were at the table. You weren't, they didn't have to call you. Because that wasn't always pleasant if they had the call.
Yeah.
So, and then if my father said, so what'd you learn in school today? If you said nothing, it was like lighting off a rocket. Nothing. That's when a lot of learning also took place. Social learning, caring, discussion, like your father, Indochina, you're right. I not to belabor this, but I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program for 2 years, and I'm going to tell you, I interviewed everyone that was in there, and Smitty, I will say, a good 75% to 80% of them would have never been there if they had families like we had.
Sure.
You know, I will say this. And I may still address this in the paper, but the Eagle three weeks ago, put there was a, in our opinion, about now, I forget the exact phrasing. Now, the education, the school department is accountable and all this for the education of our children.
Mm.
Now, that's what you don't want all that. There has to be parents, social service agencies, coaches. I can remember our coach at North, Coach Kowalski. If you weren't doing well, he would call you into the office and have a chat.
Yeah.
School, it's the parents.
Well, it's a community, too. And I'll tell you a quickie story about that. Years ago, I had a young man come into my office at the State House. And he was with an older gentleman that I've known forever. And it was like an odd couple. I said, what's going on here? And it was like a big brother's day at the State House. And I says, oh, so what's up with you two guys? Well, this young man turned to my friend and said, he was my big brother. And believe me, he's a wonderful man, but he's the last guy on earth that I would ever imagine taking the time to be a big brother and a mentor.
Yeah, yeah.
And this kid, he told me the story. And this young kid, I pulled him aside and I said, geez, tell me how this came together. And the kid actually got a little choked up. He says, no, I've made some bad decisions. He was probably 14 at that time. I've made some bad decisions. And if it wasn't for this man, he says, he saved my life. And I said, wow. I said, and it's not someone I would have acknowledged to do something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But he made a difference with that one person. And this young man who was 14 at the time, I see him occasionally now. He's all buttoned up, wearing a suit and tie, has a very successful career in going on in Berkshire County. And it's because someone took the time to mentor him, to help him, to guide him, because he wasn't getting it at home, which is understandable, but somebody else was willing to invest in him. And I think that's the big difference maker. You don't have to look far to see where there's people struggling. And it could be the neighbor across the street from where you live. And we shouldn't be afraid to knock on the door and try to make a difference one person at a time. That story has resonated with me for a long time. And I think I've spent a lot of time on youth development and mentoring. I think every person can make a difference in one other person's life. And if we just do it one person at a time, we're slowly going to change everybody's life in America.
You know, a long time ago when I was a police officer, I caught two young kids smoking marijuana. So I, you know, you could do it then. I don't know if you can still do it. And the statute of limitations already, you want to put me in jail, I could use the rest. But I didn't make a deal. I brought them home to their parents.
Yeah.
That I knew. And they all sat there and cried. Cried and about 2 years ago, I'm at an event in the kid come up to me. Now you got to, I haven't seen this kid since he was like 16, 17, right? Now he's, I don't know, 35, 40 years old. He said, Officer Sturgeon, I'm thinking, yeah. Do you remember me? To be honest, I don't remember where I parked the car. So, and he said, well, I'm so-and-so. And then I came back. He said, I can't thank you for not arresting me. I just retired from the military after 20 years.
Oh.
And he said, I would have never gotten in if that was on my record. So again, taking care, Tommy Bowler's doing a great job, Sheriff Bowler's doing a great job out at his place with rehabilitation and preparing them to go back. And now with the halfway house, the old jail. I mean, you're right. We got to start caring about each other.
Yeah,
I mentioned goals of every show.
I'm glad you mentioned Sheriff Bowler because I agree with you. I think he's doing a good job because think about it. It's a house of correction.
First,
it's not a prison. It's not a jail. It's a house of correction. The average stay there is probably 6 months, 9 months, maybe. There's some bad people in there. Don't get me wrong, awaiting trial and probably going to be sentenced to state prisons or whatever. But the majority of people have just made stupid mistakes, and they're going to get out of there in 5 or 6 or 7 months. It's a house of correction. Give them an opportunity from day one that you're going to get out of here on good behavior in probably 3 months. What are you going to do when you get out of there? And I remember when my dad was the county commissioner, the county commissioners were the parole board.
And, yes, that's right.
And every person leaving the house of correction had to go before the county commission to see if they could get paroled. And my father always had two criteria. You had to have a place to live other than where you were living when you got in trouble.
Exactly.
And you had to have a job lined up. And if you met those two criteria and you behaved well in that house of correction, my father let you out on parole. I think we need to do more of that. So you come in on day one. Let's have a plan. When you leave here in 90 days, 180 days, whatever it might be, how are we going to transition you so I don't ever see you again? And I think that's where the house of correction comes into play. And I think I agree with this. Sheriff has done a good job. The Second Street Second Chances program is going to be very successful as long as we make those key investments and we get people committed to helping and guiding and mentoring these young people.
That's right. And I can tell you from my years in the job, too, I remember in the Youthful Offender Program, a young guy said to me, you know, I shouldn't be here, but I am here, and I'm glad I am here. And I'm thinking, really? He said, because I was heavy in the drugs, heavy in the gangs, heavy in the guns. I would have probably somebody would have taken me out, or I would have had to have taken somebody out. Mm. And that would have put me here forever. And I said to him, so you're happy to be here? He said, not happy. I've seen what I won't be here again. I can promise you that. And that, you know, I had, and I got to say something too. We got a great District Attorney Chagrou and the sheriff and the chief. I had the three of them on, Chief Dolly, the DA, and the sheriff. The other, the feedback was phenomenal. And here's what it was all about. Working together. The public saw they're working together. They're not at odds with each other.
Yeah.
And they're seeing the changes.
Well, I would take the sheriff and the DA into public schools once in a while. And I would tell the young people, I was glad they knew who I was, you know, being their elected official. But I said, if you never meet these two people again in your lifetime, you've had a good life. You know, you don't ever want to meet the sheriff or the district attorney because you know something's gone wrong there. And I would go back even further with Sheriff Maspiano, you know, who was a longtime member of the school committee as well in Pittsfield. And he would
pay me now, pay me later.
Well, exactly. He says you either educate them here in the public schools, or they're going to be educated in the House of Correction where he was a sheriff. So I think that resonated with me even still to this day, that I think we can all make a difference if we just invest time and energy and a commitment to trying to make the next generation prosper a little bit more than where they're struggling right now.
And I can tell you with my experience working with youthful offenders, working as a juvenile sergeant in Lanesboro, I can tell you this, that there's only basically one solid path out of trouble, and that's education. Yeah. I don't care what kind of education, Taconic, whether it's vocational, technical, academic, I don't care. But you have to give them those tools, and without beating a horse to death. We had kids coming in with diplomas that were reading on the second and third, fourth grade levels, doing math on the second grade level. That's not helping America. That's not helping our country. We really got to, and I applaud you for being, and you always have. You've been a big supporter of education. And I hope when you finish in December, you go down and take a couple of weeks. Don't, and relax, go to Florida, play some golf. Because I can tell you, I was force retired because of heart surgery. But I went from jumping on planes going all over the world to sitting waiting for somebody to call. Mm. And you can only watch reruns of Jerry Springer so many times. And you start to act like that. But you have been a public servant for so many years. You have to feel proud of all you've got accomplished. I mean, I bumped into somebody from Lenox the other day, and I said, you know, I don't think it's sunk into the people of Lenox yet that when Smitty goes, no matter who replaces them, they're freshmen. Mm. No, I'm sorry. That's the way the game is played. And your bona fides are very like spaghetti. You may have it, you may not. But you have been such a contributor to everyone who has ever sought out your help, and you just did things for the good of the people.
Well, you're too kind, but as I reflect back, and I just keep going back to my father, there's always more work to do.
Yeah,
but I feel it's time. I'm very comfortable with my decision that we've had a good run. We've done some good things. You saw the room that we had last week. I mean, those
were amazing.
Those were real people. It was not a political event. That's the impact that I strive to make when I got down there. And I think last week proved that I've been fairly successful. But it's time to pass the baton. And I'm very cool with that. I'm comfortable. Yeah. And like I say, I know what I did. And I know what, and the people that I helped know what I did. And I feel very good. I'm really very proud of the work we've done. But I couldn't have done it without great friends like you. And I think that's the part that I will never forget. That the support, and it's not just writing a check for a fundraiser, it's holding a sign, being on your radio show, writing a letter to the editor. It's just, you know, being there when my parents were sick. I mean, those are the things that are really personal to me, and I try to reciprocate that in my own ways to all those people in that room and beyond. I feel very, I'm very proud, very pleased.
Well, you should be. You know, going back to just closing this show out, your family, you know, I tell people all the time, I know some people right now, they're mad at their brother, they're mad at their sister. My mother was a kind, gentle person. And she, if you wanted to fire her up, you could just get in a fight with your sister or your brother or... My mother's and your mom and your dad were the same. Family is everything, and it comes before everyone else. And, you know, I try to raise my son like that. And your family is, as I said in the beginning of the show, your mom and dad are in heaven going, boy, you know, we did a pretty good job with that crew. And, I'm to know the Pignatellis is an honor for the Polish princess and the old soldier.
Well, at the end of the day, Bill, it is all about family. And yep. My dad passed away 5 years ago.
Can't believe it.
As popular as my father was countywide, and the response when he did pass was overwhelming. But on those last moments, he was in a cocoon surrounded by his five children, his grandchildren, and our significant others. And that's really what it was all about. So all the great things he did over the years were really unimportant that day, because he was with the people he wanted to be with at the end. And that was family. And it's friends and family is what my career has been about. And I've been blessed with both.
Well, listen, I thank you for coming on. This won't, no matter what you try, this won't be the last time.
I hope not.
But whatever I can ever do, you know that. For anybody in your family, you know that too. In fact, I have to call your electrician brother. I got a light bulb, and I don't know what size it is. So that's – Roseanne won't let me hang pictures anymore because it took me 3 days and 27 measurements to get it crooked. So there you go. Smitty Pignatelli, thank you for coming on. Thank you for all that you have done for so many people over all the years you've been in public service. You are, sir, a true public servant.
Well, I'm honored that the Grand Marshal of the 4th of July Parade is still talking to the little people like me. So thank you very
much.
Well,
I got our picture together.
We did.
Yeah. Thanks, Smitty, for coming on. Best.
Thank
I'm
you.
Always here for you. You know that.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Have a great day. And folks, remember, I know this really upsets some of you, but God bless. And today, lift somebody's burden. Make somebody smile. Let's start taking care of each other. Because in the big scheme of things, each other, it's all that we have.
Yeah.
Don't forget, St. Mary's Bingo. Check in. Give them a call at the school. Bingo is back. Support St. Mary's. God bless. Take care, Smitty.
Thank you, Bill.